It all began with the first war that I covered, which was the 1999 Kosovo war. And I returned from that region of crisis and came back to my apartment in Berlin and basically felt that I failed.
That's Carolyn Emke. As a war correspondent, she's been on the front lines of wars in Kosovo, Lebanon, Nicaragua, Afghanistan, and Iraq, to name just a few. But even though she's written extensively about these conflicts, she felt she never really communicated the horrors of war to her readers. So after witnessing the ethnic cleansing in Kosovo in 1999, she started writing long letters home to explain it. Her collection of letters has been compiled into a book called Echoes of Violence, Letters from a War Reporter. Steve Paulson spoke with her about it.
People never, ever asked me for, you know, concrete help or money or, you know, taking them with me in a car or giving them a passport or, you know, whatever. But they've over and over asked me to write down their stories, to remember them, to give, you know, their suffering some kind of, I don't know, an official voice.
So essentially you see yourself as a witness.
Yes, definitely. I mean, one has to say, I mean, there's different understandings of what a witness is. And originally in Latin, there's two meanings of a witness. One is a testis and the other one is a superstis. A testis is somebody who gives a neutral testimony as a bystander in court. A superstis is somebody who has experienced something, him or herself, and who's a survivor, who survives a particular event and then gives testimony to what he or she went through. So I guess in the traditional sense, as a journalist or war reporter, you're probably a testis. You are, you know, a witness who tries to give an independent account of what you've seen. But quite often, I have to say, you also feel like a survivor because you live through these horrors yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, you describe some horrible scenes, corpses that don't have any heads, body parts that are just strewn about. There's one particular scene that sort of haunted me. I guess it was in Kosovo, the foot of a man that had been severed from the rest of his body, and I guess all you could see was the leather shoe and a couple of inches of flesh.
Yes, you know, you are confronted with these, you know, images of horror. And I think in the beginning I was insecure whether I should describe them or whether that would be, I don't know, unnecessary or, I don't know, to some extent, I guess, embarrassing for the ones who have to read this. But then I felt like, look, this is what war is about. And anybody who judges on, you know, military interventions or on other people's fightings should know what it's about. It's about violence. It's about killing people one way or another. And it's haunting. And it doesn't just stop when the violence stops, which is, I think, one of the reasons why I chose this title of Echoes of Violence, saying there will be echoes, there will be trauma, there will be psychological wounds and injuries that will last much longer than, you know, the actual conflict.
You have a fascinating comment where you say that before you had become a war correspondent, there was one thing you hadn't understood when you read Homer's Iliad, you know, these horrible scenes of war and how important it was for people to bury their dead. But you came to understand that once you were in war yourself.
Yes, when you read Homer, there's always the description of the fear, of the panic of people imagining themselves or their relatives and beloved ones being buried, or not being buried properly. And when I was in Kosovo and saw dogs run around carrying body parts, I did understand what the actual, you know, reason for that fear was. I hadn't imagined a world in which that could happen.
Mm-hmm. Even though presumably the soul has gone elsewhere by then, if there is such a thing as a soul, but yet somehow that dead corpse still deeply matters.
Yeah, it still deeply matters, but when you just have to imagine if it's somebody whom you really love whose, you know, body isn't intact anymore. And I think it's one grief to lose a loved one, but it's definitely another form of grief if you lose a loved one through violence or through, you know, acts of violence. And then it's another one to have to bear such a loss when nobody cares, when it's to some extent, you know, considered irrelevant because there are so many of them, or because you belong to a group that's not considered human under the current political environment or context. And I think that's also a reason why it matters that people like us, you know, travel there and listen. I think even before writing the story down, what is very relevant about what we do is that we actually go there and listen to, you know, what people have to say, what happened to them.
Well, how would you assess the overall media coverage of the war in Iraq?
Look, under the current circumstances, it's extremely difficult to, you know, even yourself understand what's going on because, you know, the dangers, the existential dangers are so enormous that there's, I think, almost no way that you can move around in Iraq the way you need to in order to, you know, get a sense for what the reality for civilians on the ground actually is.
You basically need a security detail to go with you if
exactly.
so you don't get killed.
Exactly. The measures of security that you nowadays need are such that you're very easily misperceived as a military actor on the ground. Basically, because you travel in convoys, you travel with, you know, cars that, you know, look like military vehicles. If you cause fear, if you look threatening to people, if they cannot really tell the difference anymore between, you know, a journalist and, you know, the soldiers, you know, you don't get access. You don't get the access to people who have the confidence that they could talk honestly to you. So I think under the current circumstances, I would say almost impossible to do, you know, really good journalism.
What about the embedded reporters, those reporters who travel with, let's say, a U.S. Army unit?
I think it was one of the smartest moves of the Pentagon to not exclude, but this time include journalism. I think it's the most intelligent form of censorship one could possibly invent. Hmm. Basically because it is psychologically very, very difficult to criticize the people, you know, on whose ability to fight your own life depends. I think you just bond.
The idea of neutrality goes out the window when you're traveling with these people and they're getting shot at.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I've had, you know, small impression of that experience myself in northern Iraq when we suddenly came under fire by Iraqi troops and I was together with a couple of Kurds and, you know, were just lying between Peshmerga, the Kurdish forces. And I could just, you know, see how I wanted the Peshmerga lying next to me kill as many Iraqis as possible. Now, you know, that's not a thought, you know, of a neutral bystander. I mean, that's clearly scary to admit, but I think that's what happens.
Carolyn Emke is the author of Echoes of Violence, Letters from a War Reporter. Steve Paulson spoke with her.